So let me start with a story today as we continue our What and Why series that I'm just tickled has gotten the response that it has. Folks have given positive feedback and really been enjoying it to learn what we do and why do we do some of these things that we do when we gather as a church. And so today we'll continue on preaching, which seems kind of weird because they're like, well, dude, you do that like every week. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but why do I do that? And so we'll talk about that. But I wanted to start with a story of just an old pastor. And he was standing in front of his church, and it was this time, the moment where all eyes were on him, and he just had this urge to just felt convicted, I guess, to just stand up. And he just tells the church, he said, if I had all the wine in the world, I would just dump it in the river. And then even louder, just looks at everybody and says, if I had all the beer in the world, I would just pour it in the river. Then he just exclaims, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd just pour it in the river. And he just sat down. I was just taken aback. So anyways, the worship leader, there it's my time. So she gets up and just kind of with a crooked little grin on her face, asks everybody, would you please turn to hymn 108 and just let's sing Shall We Gather at the River today. I know, right? I'm not sure if they get better or worse like every Sunday, but I just keep going with it. Anyways, so today we are, of course, as I said, into talking about what is preaching and why do we do that? So if we just jump right into it, let's give it a definition. We talk about preaching and is to understand, to kind of know what it is. We need to understand where it sort of comes from. And in the Greek language, the word for preaching is called kerygma, K-E-R-Y-G-M-A. And so that word in the Greek is actually talking about a proclamation. It's standing forward to proclaim something that you know to be true to whoever would be listening. And so that word proclamation, we often use the word preaching. You don't really hear many people get up and say, the pastor's going to give the proclamation today. It's like, no, he's going to get up and preach. Why? Well, he's a preacher. That's what the man does, you know. But it's in the Greek, and we think of the New Testament, this word kerygma, and talking about preaching is specific to promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just proclaiming something that you feel really positive about, you may really like. It's promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ specifically, but telling, in fact, a work of telling God's redemptive story that points people to what God has done through Jesus Christ for the world, for God so loved the world, as we said earlier, right? And when I was thinking about this, my mind just automatically went to Peter, and in the book of Acts, remember the story of Pentecost? Anybody, if you're online, you remember the story. If you know the story of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and the church is really sort of born that day, and there are a bunch of people that come to witness what is happening. And Peter, well, I got an audience. He delivers this amazing first sermon of the church, if you will, and he stands in front of all these people and he's preaching the truth about Jesus having been the long-awaited Messiah, and he's the one you were waiting to come, and you're the ones that are responsible for having him crucified. And, oh yeah, by the way, he also rose from the dead because he's God, as he said that he would do. And so that's kind of short and skinny, and apparently the Holy Spirit was bringing conviction upon the crowd because the crowd just says to Peter, well, then what should we do because of this? And Peter has a very clear, pointed answer to them. He tells them, you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. He points them to Jesus, and then he tells them what to do in response to that. He points them to the story of Christ, who he is and what he's done, and says, now here's what you need to do that you may receive what Christ has done on your behalf. And so Peter, I would have you notice, Peter in the story, in the book, he's not telling what he thinks they ought to do. He's telling what he knows they ought to do because of who he knows Jesus is, and he knows the true story of what Jesus had done and what he had preached firsthand, hearing it. Could you imagine being at the feet of Jesus and just firsthand hearing him teach? man, what? I mean, you guys think I'm good. I mean, that's just, okay, that's joke number two. I would invite you to think of it this way. It's much like a witness in the courtroom. And that witness has seen and heard something specific, and it's a true account. And so that witness is telling that true account of what they know to the best of their ability from their own experience to be the absolute very truth. Just the facts, ma'am. Does anybody remember where that came from? Joe Friday, right? Dragnet. I'm not quite to have old enough to have seen those firsthand, but I have seen reruns of that. But that stays in my head. So preaching is really promoting the gospel of Jesus and then leaving it up to the audience that's listening to you to decide what are they going to do with it now that they have heard it. So the responsibility of preaching is to speak the truth, but I can't control what anyone does with it. Every person is up to their own decision. What will they do with that, right? So why then promote the gospel of Jesus Christ during these church services when we get together and on site, online, we're all worshiping together? Why do that? Well, one of the simple reasons I'll give you is because when people preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're passing along this Christian faith to other people. You know, this Christian faith is a storytelling faith. The history of Christianity is in Judaism, and probably a lot of you are probably aware of that. And Judaism was always a storytelling faith from really the very beginning. It was, we don't have these things written down, so if you don't have the things that happened in history written down, what do you got to do? You'll never believe what happened. I got to tell you this, right? The only thing you have is to tell these stories. And in fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when the Lord actually, he's telling the people of Israel he's in covenant with, like, when you're with your kids and you walk down the road, I want you to talk about this stuff. When you sit, when you stand, when you lie down, when you have meals, when you're getting together with your friends, da da da. I want you to talk about this stuff. I want you to teach. I want you to let them know what had happened. I want you to let them know the things that I did. I want you to let them know the things that I said to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Moses, you know, as a story, and the prophets as the story keeps going. So what's the easiest way to do that? Just tell the stories, right? Tell the things that have been passed, the stories that have been passed down of what God did and what he said. And when you promote those, here's the thing that we might not actually catch. When you tell stories, know that when you tell stories about a personal being, that you're telling stories about that person's character. You're telling part about what they value. You're passing along the things that they have done. And so the power that they have, the influence that they have. And so whenever they would tell these stories about God, they were passing on this faith, like, this is the God we believe in. This is his holy character. These are the values that he holds. These are the things that he has said because it is truth, and all truth comes from God. He's the author of all truth. He's the Logos. So you imagine a parent walking, or a grandparent walking with their kid or grandkid down the road, down this dusty road, and they look out and they see all this beautiful creation all around them. Much like today, it's gorgeous outside today. What a wonderful morning in the weather. And you look around and you go, wow, do you know who made those trees over there? God. You know who gives us the warmth this morning, even in the midst of the Christmas crispness? You have to think on that one. Of the early morning with the dew. God. You know who is strengthening you to enjoy his creation, his gifts for another day? Son or daughter, it's God. You know who's invited you to just know his blessings every day of your life? It's God. Because God has said, those who honor me, I will honor. And I've blessed you that you might be a blessing, as God said to Abraham, right? I'm going to bless you that you may be a blessing to the nations. This is the God that we believe in and the God we serve and follow. Jesus told a lot of stories during his ministry, a lot of them through parables, that were made up stories to teach about the kingdom, teach about God, to reframe their understanding of what it meant to live in relationship with God. But even the things that he told and the way he taught was all grounded in the stories of old that they had heard so many times again and again. He was bringing all that forward because he knows the people that he's there, first of all, to save are a storytelling kind of people. So Jesus says, I want to get your attention. I want to meet you then right where you are. Let that sink in for a second. God says, I want to get your attention. I want you to know who I am and how I feel about you. So you know what? I'm going to come meet you right where you are. I'm going to meet you in your story. For your story is a part of my story. And I want you to know me in your story. And I want you to know me in my story. I want you to know I love you. And I know you're tired. And I know you're frustrated. And I know you're hurting. And I know that you are sad. And I know that you feel like your world is falling apart. And I know that you're not sure if your marriage is going to last much longer. Like, I know what you know. And I want you to know. I know your story. And if you trust in me, your story doesn't end. Because your story continues in my story. Because I love you. The world knows about God's love because of what God has done first for us. We preach during Sunday services because we are telling the story to pass along this faith that we hold in Jesus Christ. You see, Christian faith is grounded in history. If I never told you once, walk with me over here. If I never told you once about what this means or why this is important, do you think that an average person would come to intuitively understand this? Like one day they would wake up and go, oh yeah, I know what that's all about. Never. It can't happen. Because you cannot just one day randomly understand a historical story. It's grounded in the history of life. So a person would have to be told that this is what happened by a man named Jesus of Nazareth, who was born and went to that cross, and what he did on that cross, and then they died and was buried, and on the third day, what? He rose from the dead. You would have to be told that so that you could know that. And so in Romans 10:14, I think this is where it's kind of a heart of Paul's writing. He says, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? He's writing to Romans, to the people in Rome. They were not people that were in Palestine. They will know not because of firsthand experience, but because of the stories that are told about Jesus, of who he is and what he did and why he did it. The Romans will know because somebody tells them. Well, Paul says, guess what? You guys are the ones that have got to tell the story. Because if you don't tell them, they're not going to know. Somebody's got a kerygma. Somebody got to preach it, proclaim it to them so that they're aware that what Jesus did is a part of history. We just don't want to be boring about it. How many of you have ever fallen asleep during a sermon? Me too. And I was the one preaching it. Like, it was that close. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we got to tell the story. One of the reasons we preach is to tell the story. But let me give you a second one. I believe it's so the church grows in the knowledge of God. We tell that story of Jesus, who he is, what he did, why he did it, that we would help the church grow stronger roots in Christ, that aren't easily moved by false teachings or perceptions about what is true that we may start to be influenced by, okay? Because sometimes part of the message that you may hear taught, right, proclaimed, let's use that, sounds like it's spot on. And then you keep listening and you go, I'm not sure that I agree with the other part of that, though. Like, I can't find that in the scriptures, that that is part of the Bible, right? Sometimes things sound pretty good. Fairly tempting to believe in. Kind of scratches that itch to go, well, I can, But we tell this story to help each other be strongly rooted in the faith of knowing and believing who Jesus really is and what he's done for us and who we are in Christ because of Jesus. Not because of what you have the strength to do, but because of what, in fact, you can't do and what Jesus did for you, which was to set you free, forgive you, give you the ability to inherit eternal life. You know, I love the way Peter puts this in 2 Peter 3:18. He goes, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may, I love it, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do not grow strong in the philosophical teachings that were being hammered from the Roman culture and the Greek influence culture of their day. He's like, no, make sure that you are standing firm in what you've been taught about Jesus and who you are and the way to eternal life and the way to grow. Because what you're going to hear from the worldly culture coming from the Greek influence culture is not going to align 100% with what we have taught from Judaism and then Christ was teaching in his teachings, right? Like, it's not going to align perfectly. So you're going to have to know what that truth is so that when you hear it, you can go, I hear it. There's some valid truth in that. However, Jesus teaches that this is absolute truth, and so therefore I need to stand on this teaching in addition to that. That's called discernment. And the more we hear the teachings of the story of Jesus Christ, the more the Spirit of God continues to just build us up and give us maturity and wisdom to know the truth from the false. Just keep it that simple, perhaps. Maybe why Paul in Colossians, he says, continue to live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So when we preach Jesus, we're helping each other, you know, have strong roots in knowing what we believe and who we are. And there's kind of a twofold reason for this. One of the reasons is because God knew that when life gets to going well, there's a temptation to think that I'm doing everything right and good, and so therefore I really don't need God like I did before. There's a temptation there to go, I'm doing pretty good. Or when maybe some of life's culture tries to promote its own philosophies over Christ, friends, that we would know the truth and we could stand with conviction. And as we stand, we find ourselves being better prepared to share the reason for the hope that we have. I love it. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to three people, just kidding, to everyone, Peter writes, who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. It's good for us to hear that story told again and again and again. It's so healthy for us. And I know there's a temptation to say, you know what, like, he's just going to talk about Jesus again today. I know that story. Like, why do I need to go and listen to him harp on the same old stuff again? Like, he goes to the cross almost every Sunday. He's already done it today. Probably going to do it again. Do I really need to hear that again? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We need to be reminded again and again and again who Jesus is and why we have the hope we have. And we need to have other people around us who are saying amen, or raising a hand maybe, or nodding their head. And we see that there are other people who want to hear that same message that we know we need to hear again and again. Because just like you and just like me, they're trying, working hard probably every day of the week. Stand on their own 2 feet, put one foot in front of the other, go to work, do whatever you're doing, and saying, Lord, I need your help again today. Do you know why you get to receive that help from the Lord? You do. Because you know Jesus. And to know Jesus is to know the story of what he's done for you and why he's done it for you. And we spend our Christian lives growing and developing a deeper, more firm foundation of that story and what it means in our lives. And here's my favorite one. This is good. Y'all are going to love this. You ready?
Ready.
Excellent. Promoting the story of Jesus Christ introduces people to Jesus. You realize that not everybody that comes through the doors or worships with us online knows the story of Jesus. Not everybody knows who Jesus is. You say, well, they've been coming to church. There's a lot of people who have sat through a lot of sermons and slept. Can you sleep with your eyes open? There's a lot of people that can do that. It's quite amazing, actually. There's a glaze that comes over their eyes, and they just don't move. And I know they're sleeping because then I'll just see this. I'm like, caught you. Preaching introduces people to Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And as he said of himself in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me. And as we've already said a couple of times, preaching tells that story that God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that if you will believe in him here and here, that you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Not of your own accord, merit, strength, good philosophy, good works or deeds, but simply because of Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Christ, the King of God's kingdom, our Redeemer, the Savior of the world. What a wonderful, wonderful God. I love that there is only one Jesus of Nazareth, right? There's only one Jesus, Christ. And that when we talk about what happened in history on that cross for the world and the why, that we get to introduce people to an exclusive Savior. Not so that someone can come into an elitist club where everybody, you know, may act like they got it all together, but an exclusive Savior who says, I did that for you. Oh, and by the way, I am the only Savior of the world because I am God and I'm in the flesh. I died, was buried, rose again 3 days later. He's the only one that's done that because he's God. I love we get to introduce people to that Savior. Because I tell you, Jesus is a true life changer. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Give me some ways I've found that is actually true. There are people who have been sitting in under preaching pastors and have felt called to go around the world to go be missionaries in a foreign country, give up everything and to go serve the Lord from preaching. In response to what God spoke to them and touched their heart and their mind because of the word that was preached about the story of Jesus and that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Husbands and wives have given their marriages a second chance because they've heard the reconciling, healing power of Jesus taught that's shown through that cross can work in their marriage. And they fought through it with God's help. There have been hopeless, suicidal teens who have discovered hope again because they heard preached that Jesus is a God of hope. And that even though it all may seem lost, it's not. Because it's never done when Jesus is involved. He has the final say. You have hope in Jesus because, let me tell you, the message of the cross. So we preach the gospel. Lives have been saved literally and spiritually. Addicts have listened to preaching and have found themselves delivered from strongholds because they heard a preacher preach freedom in Christ. And they believed it. And they said, I choose to accept that. That this addiction does not have to control my life. That I am free in Christ. And by the grace of God, I have the help that I need every day. And so every day is a new day. People have sat under preaching that's telling the story of Christ. And they've had the weight of their sin removed. The guilt and the shame of it. Because they repented of their sin. They received forgiveness from God. There was no longer any condemnation against them because they were forgiven in Christ. Jesus has changed the trajectory of people's lives and whole families because of preaching the story of Jesus Christ. Not from preaching opinions, not from preaching philosophy, not from preaching the Reader's Digest. Nothing against Reader's Digest. But if people are going to be set free, it's going to come under the preaching of Jesus Christ. When Christ sets you free, you're free indeed, my friends. But you know, right? That's not just because I'm spouting off these like wonderful words. I hope they're wonderful. But it's because I'm taking you to that story so that you remember the what and the why of the cross and the empty tomb. And with that knowledge and the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you step forward and you get to introduce people to Jesus. A lot of people say, that's a preacher's job. I've had folks literally go, Pastor, I have a dear friend of mine who I just love for them to know Jesus. Can you talk to them? That is legitimate. This is true. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But you know what my response back to them was as pastoral counsel? You can talk to them about Jesus too. Oh, I could never. Yes, you can. You got to tell the story. And tell the story of how his story has changed your story. You're not going to save them. God saves from eternal separation from God. You got to tell your story. You be a witness. See, that's what preaching really is. It's bearing witness to that story. For you know it to be true. Preaching about Jesus is powerful. It's absolutely amazing. So with all of that put before you today, I want to tell you that our church here at New Hope, we exist to make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve. This is what we're all about. And preaching is part of the way that we help retell the story of Jesus and introduce people to the one that can change the trajectory of their lives. That they would grow in a love for God and to know God. They would grow in a love for other people. That they would grow in their faith and knowing what they believe and why and stand in it with hope and a spirit of peace and confidence in the Lord. And that they would grow with a passion, a desire to serve Christ through the church in the world. That the world will know that we are Christians by the way we love the world together. We want to see that happen. And that's what we're about. So we'll keep preaching that story of Christ crucified and raised from the dead. So we're going to pass along that story. We'll help each other grow in the knowledge of God so we're strong in the faith, as I was talking about. And help us introduce people to Jesus who we know can transform their lives. So it seems to me quite fitting that a good portion of our worship time together when we celebrate God would be centered around talking about the story that we're actually celebrating. And so here's why we preach and what's behind our singing. So with all that being said, Can I ask our worship team to come up and lead us in song today? And if you would stand together, we'll stand as a church family. And those worshiping with us online, you can stand too if you want, if you're not already. And let's close out this worship service in a word of song.